can't handle the truth.
Coming back to our Truth Versus News show here on September 11th, we have a heck of a show going here, and Brian Davidson wants to share a bit. So go ahead and introduce it.
Yeah, in the context of talking about the Maui fires, I just want to bring something to your attention, and this is something Robert F. Kennedy Jr. said. He's not going to be given a good shot at this presidency at all, but let's hear what he's got to say in this little clip here real fast, because this is important.
More importantly, there's three giant corporations, BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard, which own collectively, they own each other, so it's really one giant corporation. But they also own 89% of the S&P 500. They own everything. They've now decided to buy every single family home in America. So if they stay on the current trajectory, they will own 60% of the homes in this country, single family homes, by 2030. They literally are trying to buy everything. And the head of it, Larry Fink, the CEO of BlackRock, is on the board of the World Economic Forum, and what they, you know, they've said, we want this great reset, which is you will own nothing and you will be happy. Well, they're on their way to making sure that we don't own anything. So you all probably have heard of people who are about to buy a home, and somebody comes in with at the last minute with a cash or offer and snatches off the out of the market.
Right.
And it's usually an LLC with an ambiguous name. But if you trace that up, you'll find it's owned by BlackRock.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think the point that I was trying to make here is that it's only a matter of time before these monopolies acquire pretty much everything that can be bought up here in America that's worth anything. And this includes residential homes, properties. They'll be given great tax status and tax exemptions from our leadership. They'll be given great opportunities to do this. And of course, if you're a seller, you're going to sell to the guy that's got the cash rather than wait for all the inspections and all the mortgages to go through. And they've got the cash to do it. I'd expect to see them operating a little bit more in the urban areas, or at least semi-suburban areas to start. But we know that there's been a lot of farmland that's been bought up by these big mega corporations, a lot of giants. We know that China has been coming in as well, investing heavily in American-style farmland. And so I bring this up in the context of Maui because, frankly, it feels to me like a land grab, and it feels to me like they want to make sure that they've got their safe little oasis that they can build their 15-minute city on, where they cannot be attacked by radicals that are angry at them for what they've done. And I think they'll keep the situation under control a great deal. I think they'll morph into a bit of a surveillance state similar to what China currently is. And I think that they'll go with the digital currencies, which the good news is the rest of the world seems to be rebelling against the digital currencies. Right now, there's been riots, I believe it is in France, over the digital currency. People don't want to have to allow the government to have that level of control. But I can guarantee you that if your property is going to go up for sale for whatever reason, these big corporations are going to start to pay attention to it and see what they can do to convert you from a homeowner to a renter. And then they'll pretty much, and I've heard also stories about whole neighborhoods in Ohio that are owned by these big mega corporations, and the only houses that you can get in these neighborhoods are for rent because the corporations own them all. So welcome New World Order. It's coming.
Wow.
Very good. Great ad.
Almost here. Yeah.
The clip was excellent. Meanwhile, the anti-constitutional governor of New Mexico has declared a health emergency to ban guns. The criminal New Mexico governor has completely subverted the Constitution that she mendaciously pretends to uphold. Because of a health emergency that has nothing to do with actual health, it's now illegal to carry a firearm in the state for 30 days. Basically, she's perpetrating another trial balloon quasi-lockdown of the First and Second Amendment to the Constitution, predicated on yet another totally bogus emergency. In other words, Michelle Yuan Grissom and her entire state government are the real emergency we must solve. One of the journalists has a demented, power-hungry fraud. If she thought criminals would obey her bullshit law and not carry illicit firearms, her response was so absurdly duplicitous and disingenuous, it appeared to be pure comedy in a sane world. If only she were not the worst criminal by a long shot, currently operating out of New Mexico. The only solution to gun violence is upholding the Second Amendment with none of the federal or state restrictions currently preventing Americans from exercising their most basic and vital rights. Second Amendment supersedes federal and state law in any meddling. In Second Amendment results in far more violence, as proven by Democrat-run cities with the most draconian unconstitutional gun law, to wit, the U.S. has the third highest murder rate in the world. But if you remove Chicago, Detroit, Washington, D.C., St. Louis, and Philadelphia, then the U.S. is 189th out of 193 in the world, fourth least. All five cities have strict gun control laws that are controlled by Democrats. Fact check that. Under Governor Michelle's fraudulent legal theory, all of her rights are null and void whenever the evil dictator says so. Make no mistake, this is nothing more than set up for pandemic lockdowns, forced never-ending death back, PSYOP climate change 50-minute cities, and the upcoming UN 2030 agenda land grabs. Those captured anti-constitutionalist puppets and their illegitimate federal government waging war against we the people out of the foreign nation of Washington, D.C. are the most pressing and dangerous emergency in America. When the Marxist Gestapo show up at your door with their four slow-kill bioweapon injections, they want you stripped of all of your arms, all Hitler's anti-gun mandates. Michelle Grisham must be arrested and removed from office immediately. All those in her cabinet and employed by the state of New Mexico who are not placing her under arrest are aiding and abetting. They must also be prosecuted under the full extent of the law of the land, not color of law. Do not comply. Politics is a science of fraud, and politicians are the professors. Meanwhile, Jonathan Turley, New Mexican governor, gun order is unconstitutional. Democrats need to take steps to curb violence in their state, perhaps, but they're doing it by taking away constitutional rights from law-abiding under the guise of public health emergencies, as we see with New Mexico Governor Grisham. Jonathan Turley warned. Grisham issued an emergency public health order, suspended open and permitted concealed carry in Albuquerque for 30 days amid violence, but it will not stand up to legal challenge and will ultimately weaken publicly emergency powers forever, according to Turley. The order, in my view, is flagrantly unconstitutional under existing Second Amendment precedent. It could also be a calculated effort to evade a ruling by making the period of suspension so short, 30 days, might not be enough time to work its way through the court system, so then you have a precedent standing that has not been rejected by a court. Many will celebrate the boldness of Grisham in taking away an individual right under a clever measure. It is, however, too clever by half. If not found moot by the end of the period, New Mexico could supply a vehicle to curtail future public health rationales. Albuquerque has been roiled by violence and criminal behavior, so Grisham claims to have been forced to take emergency action. As I said yesterday, the time for standard measures has passed. And when New Mexicans are afraid to be in crowds to take their kids to school to leave a baseball game, their very right to exist is threatened by the prospect of violence at every turn. Something is very wrong. But Turley said, using public health emergency measures that have become more frequent after the COVID pandemic lockdown mandates and orders is dangerous. Democrat leaders have increasingly turned to a claim used successfully during the pandemic by declaring a health emergency to maximize unilateral authority of governors. There have also been calls to declare racism a public health emergency, supported by groups like the American Public Health Association. Transgender programs have been declared a public health emergency by some groups. The motivation behind many of these calls is not to negate constitutional rights, but whether such declarations allow governor discretion to suspend or curtail individual rights. As the list of claimed health emergencies grows, even state Democrat judges may begin to balk at the obvious end run around the Constitution. Major Democrat cities are delivering lasting self-inflicted wounds to gun control efforts with poorly conceived and poorly drafted measures. No state has done more for the Second Amendment than New York. The state had been a fountain of unconstitutional laws and the basis of a series of wins for Second Amendment advocates. New Mexico could now prove the next big opportunity for gun rights advocates in tackling the public health rationale for gun control. Scott, your thoughts.
Well, it's unconstitutional right on its face. Government does not give people the right to keep and bear arms. People are given that right by God. The Constitution simply affirms and recognizes God, men's unalienable rights. These are rights that cannot be taken away or given by government. They are man's rights given to him by Almighty God, his creator. The right to freedom of speech, freedom of conscience. That doesn't mean you can injure someone. Then it enters the legal frame. Right to keep and bear arms, to defend oneself, defend one's property, defend one's liberty, defend one's family and their property and their liberty. That is your natural right given to you by God, not by government. When you're imprisoned, you don't have the right, obviously, because you're being prosecuted in prison for a crime, for an injury that you've done to someone else or something. So this entire premise of government and governors being able to suspend your God-given rights is putting government in the place of God, and that's why it needs to be always disobeyed as non-existent. It has no power of law, no code, no mandate or proclamation or anything else has power of law if it is contrary to the Constitution and the Constitution's recognition and affirmation of your unalienable rights given to you by God, not by government or the governor or the legislature or anyone else. So these actions need to be immediately challenged in court. I don't care if it only lasts a day. It needs to be challenged in court and go to the Supreme Court to say this governor never had the authority to do what she did, and everything she did was unconstitutional. And the court needs to say, yes, this governor's action, even if it was for 1 hour, she has no right, nor does any other governor, nor does the president, to say a man's unalienable right given him by God can be suspended or infringed or interfered with. That's the entire principle and the foundation of God-given rights, not government-given rights, God-given rights that cannot be taken away. And it needs to be challenged because these will only get progressively worse if they're not challenged. Jim?
Brian?
Very good.
Yeah, well, this is an interesting study in the difference between a sheriff and the state police, because basically this governor, Michelle Grisham, issued the emergency order to temporarily suspend the right of people to carry firearms around Albuquerque, and then said that the state police would be enforcing the mandate, and that's because that Bernalillo County sheriff basically called it unconstitutional, said he wasn't going to enforce it, that it would be a violation of his oath to office, and that there was nothing he was going to do to enforce this, and then he called for her impeachment. So all is not lost on the gun control battle, but I will point out that for a long, long time, all these gun grabs have been designed to, and pushed out there with different types of false flag events. Now, I don't know, and I haven't studied the 11-year-old boy who was supposedly killed outside of a minor league baseball stadium, or the 5-year-old girl who was asleep in a motorhome. And then there was an August shooting of a 13-year-old girl in the same county. And so she issued the firearm suspension as an emergency health, public health order. But that's very similar to the coronavirus pandemic. Remember, 14 days to flatten the curve. I mean, it's all just a bunch of garbage, and it's just another grab. Now, why do they want to disarm the people? I think it's very simple. They're afraid that the people are going to rise and rebel. And in time, they probably will. So with this particular 30-day thing that she's saying that violators could face civil penalties and fines up to $5,000, but the lawsuits are already beginning to fly related to this thing, and I suspect that this governor has just had her strings pulled to test it out and see how the waters would react.
I have a friend in New Mexico who tells me there's a consensus that she wasn't even properly elected, that she was running against an extremely popular guy. Everyone expected a win. And I think this is Obama's first net where they're manipulating the vote down to the precinct level at work again. So that's what we get, is rubbish government when we're denied democracy by traitors and tyrants like Barack Obama. Meanwhile, Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals agreed Biden admin violated the First Amendment. Easily affirms lower court order. Bates Biden to appeal to the Supreme Court. This is Sundance from a conservative treehouse. This is one of those judicial court rulings that need to be bookmarked, because a judicial panel outlines exactly what the Biden admin and government official did in their blatant violations of the First Amendment. The Fifth Circuit outlines how the Biden admin totally violated the First Amendment by forcing and coercing social media and other organizations to ban speech, block opinion, and censor information they determined to be against their interest. Anytime a progressive Democrat claims their leadership would not destroy this nation, simply put this appellate court ruling in front of their face and walk away. Here's a portion. Per their operation, the FBI monitored the platform's moderation policies and asked for detailed assessment during the regular meetings. The platforms apparently changed their moderation policies in response to the FBI's debriefs. For example, some platforms changed their terms of service to be able to tackle content that was tied to hacking operations. But the FBI activities were not limited to purely foreign threats. In the buildup to federal elections, the FBI set up command posts that would flag concerning content and relay developments to the platform in those operations. The officials also targeted domestically sourced disinformation, like posts that stated incorrect poll hours or mail-in voting procedures. Probably the other way around. Those that state correct poll hours and improper mail voting procedures, calling them out. Apparently, the FBI's flagging operation across the board led to posts being taken down 50% of the time. Finally, we discussed the remaining officers, the NIAID, CISA, and State Department, where NIAID did not have regular contact with platform or flag content. Instead, they were concerned with taking down opposing scientific or policy views on that front. Fauci, spoke directly in favor of certain ideas, such as COVID lockdowns, and against others, such as the lab leak theory. In doing so, NIAID officials appeared on podcasts and live stream. The platforms are subsequently demoting posts that echoed or supported the discredited views. Really, not discredited, but disapproved. CISA and State, on the other hand, both communicated directly with platforms. State hosted meetings that were meant to facilitate communication with the platforms. In them, they educated the platforms on the tools and techniques that malign or foreign propaganda actors. The panel decision modified the injunction against federal officials to now read. Defendants and their employees and agents shall take no action, formal or informal, directly or indirectly, to coerce or significantly encourage social media companies to remove, delete, suppress, or reduce, including through altering their algorithms, posted social media content containing protected free speech. That includes, but is not limited to, compelling the platform to act, such as by intimating that some form of punishment will follow a failure to comply with any request, or supervising, directing, or otherwise meaningfully controlling the social media company's decision-making processes. At the government's request, the Fifth Circuit stayed the order for 10 days to give the government time for submit a writ of certiorari to the Supreme Court, almost like bait. The Fifth Circuit is seemingly hoping the insufferable and ideological lawfare operatives in the DOJ will take this decision higher. SCOTUS would destroy the Biden admin on this constitutional issue. The evidence of what took place is overwhelming in support of the original court order against Biden and the subsequent affirmation from the Fifth Circuit. Let's talk about that one before we come to this. Scott, yours.
Well, the fact that Facebook and YouTube and Twitter and all these social media companies were taking down posts and channels and videos of things critical of COVID-19 or the vaccine or calling it a psyop or exposing a whole assortment of other topics and subject matter that are usually quintessentially conservative in nature or more traditional or Republican or whatever you want to call it, shows gross bias. It's a deprivation of rights under color of law. It's a conspiracy to deprive Americans of their rights under color of law. And they should be sued for this deprivation of American rights. Every citizen who was damaged, had a post taken down, had their videos taken down, who've suffered their YouTube channels taken down, have grounds to sue these companies for deprivation of rights under color of law, and I'd say conspiracy and other things. The only thing that really jumps out that stands to really be outrageous, Jim, is did this happen when Trump was president of the United States or after he was overthrown in the coup d'etat? Because if these posts and these companies were taking down or suspending or interfering, if the FBI was communicating with these social media companies when Trump was still president, then it's on his head. And I don't care how dumb he was or how miscommunicated or kept out of the loop he was, the buck stops with him. If it was his FBI and his DOJ that were setting up command posts and in the communication with these companies, because this was a violation of Americans' rights and it was a conspiracy to overthrow him. Where was he? Was he derelict on his duty? Because I think it's outrageous that this may have all been done when he was president and then only accelerated after he was thrown out. Jim?
Brian?
I've said this before, the Second Amendment is there to protect the First. This is the First. They want to erode all the First Amendment and Second Amendment as much as possible so they can get rid of conspiracy theorists who come up with crazy ideas. Even today, they're out there producing new videos that are just now seeing the light of day related to 9/11 so they can continue to gaslight and change it out. They're trying to rewrite history using artificial intelligence. Rewrite all these different articles and information points. They're obviously monitoring Wikipedia as sort of their central base for what the facts of the matter really are. The fact checkers are not working very well. And frankly, the people are just getting a little too loud for their comfort. And so the Fifth Circuit in this particular instance appears to be functioning properly for now. I don't put a lot of confidence in courts in general, because I know that often judges are compromised in one way or another. I do think that's happened quite a bit in the past, but fortunately the system appears to be working properly. And I do think that we can trust our current Supreme Court to continue to at least do their best to pay attention to the pure constitutional issues that are in play. And so I think we'll be okay for a while. Again, I think all of these are just a smokescreen. I think they just want to spend money on more of that security industrial complex. And all these attacks are just sort of non sequiturs because they know that they can't get it through with the way the Constitution's written. I think they're just trying to scare people and get big expense accounts.
Outrageously wrong. Charlie Trousers, Harvard professor over 14th Amendment nonsense comments. Blows my column for the New York Post in response to the attack this week by Harvard professor Lawrence Tribe. I am honestly saddened by the ad hominem attacks that become commonplace with many academics like Tribe. There was a time when legal disagreement could be passionate, but not personal. The use of personalism and vulgar trash talking were avoided in our profession in the past. Now even law deans have called Supreme Court justices hacks to the delight of their followers. I've always said there are good faith arguments on both sides of the 14th Amendment theory, despite my strong disagreement with it. The public would benefit from that debate based on precedent rather than personalities. Here's the column. This week, CNN, Aaron Burnett out front, offered what had become a staple of liberal cable news. Harvard Law Professor Lawrence Tribe assuring Democrats that they are justified in an unconstitutional effort while attacking opposing views as nonsense. I was singled out on this occasion for Tribe-related personal attack because I voiced a legal opinion different than his own. Being attacked by Tribe as a hack is not as much of a distinction as one might think. Indeed, it's relatively tame in comparison to Tribe's past vulgar and juvenile assaults on others. Tribe has attacked figures like Mitch McConnell as McTurtle and flagrant dickhead. He attacked former Attorney General Bill Barr's religion, thrilled his followers by referring to Trump as a dick or dickhead in chief. Tribe often shows little patience for the niceties of constitutional law tradition. He has supported a call to pack the Supreme Court as long overdue. He's also supported an array of debunked conspiracy theories, like denouncing Barr as guilty of the monstrous act of shooting protesters in Lafayette Park with rubber bullets to make way for a photo op, a claim found to be utterly untrue. Some of Tribe's conspiracy theories are quickly disproven, like his sensational claims of an anti-Trump figure being killed in Russia. We crossed swords decades ago during the impeachment of Bill Clinton, when Tribe argued it was not an impeachable offense for Clinton to lie under oath, even though a federal court and even Democrats admitted Clinton committed the crime of perjury. Tribe assured Democrats it fell entirely outside the constitutional standard of a high crime or misdemeanor. However, Tribe would later say Trump's call to Ukraine was clearly an undeniable impeachable. Indeed. Tribe insisted Trump could be charged with a long list of criminal charges that no prosecutor ever pursued, including treason. Tribe even declared Trump guilty of the attempted murder of Vice President Mike Pence on January 6th. Though no prosecutor has ever suggested such a charge, Tribe assured CNN that the crime was already established without any doubt, beyond a reasonable doubt, beyond any doubt. That is the key to Tribe's appeal, the absence of doubt. Every constitutional vote seems inevitably to lead where Democrats want it to go, from court packing to unilateral executive action. Take student loan forgiveness. Even former Speaker Pelosi acknowledged the effort to wipe out hundreds of millions of student loan would be clearly unconstitutional. Tribe, however, assured Biden that it was entirely legal. It was later found unconstitutional by the Supreme Court. Tribe was also there to support Biden, when no other legal expert would, on the national eviction moratorium. The problem, Biden admitted, was his own lawyers told him it would be flagrantly unconstitutional. That's when then-Speaker Pelosi gave Biden the familiar advice, just call Tribe. Biden then cited Tribe as assuring him he had the authority to act alone. Even Democrat laws that were treated as laughable were found lawful by Tribe. For example, the resistance in California passed a clearly unconstitutional law that would have barred presidential candidates from appearing on the state ballot without disclosing tax records. Tribe heralded the law as clearly constitutional and lambasted law professors for stating the obvious that it would be struck down. It was not just struck down by the California Supreme Court, but struck down unanimously. Likewise, California Governor Gavin Newsom pushed for the passage of an anti-gun rights law that was used to mock the holding of the Supreme Court's abortion ruling in Dobbs. Yet Tribe declared the effort is inspired and attacked those of us who said it was a political stunt that would be found legally invalid. It was quickly enjoined by a court as unconstitutional. In an age of rage, the most irate reigns supreme. And there's no one who brings greater righteous anger than Lawrence Tribe. That is evidence in arguably the most dangerous theory now being pushed by Tribe. And the source of his latest attack upon me. Democrats are pushing a new interpretation of the 14th Amendment that will allow state officials to bar Trump from the ballots, preventing citizens from voting for the candidate now tied with Joe Biden for the 2024 election. This is all being argued by Tribe and others as protecting democracy by blocking a Democrat vote. Democrats have claimed the 14th prevents Trump from running because he supported an insurrection or rebellion. They have argued that this long dormant clause can be used to block not just Trump, but 120 Republicans in Congress from running for office. I have long rejected this theory as contrary to the text and history of the 14th Amendment. Even figures attacked wrongly by Trump, such as Georgia's Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger, have denounced the theory as dangerous and wrong. Tribe was set off in his latest CNN interview after I noted that this theory lacks any limiting principle. Advocates are suggesting courts could then start banning candidates by interpreting riots as insurrections. After I noted the event was ratified after an actual rebellion where hundreds of thousands died, Trump declared such comparisons nonsense. He asked, how many have to die before we enforce this? There are several who died at the Capitol during the insurrection. My comment was not to do a head count, But to note that since Tribe believes there's no need for a congressional vote, one would at least expect a charge of rebellion or insurrection by Trump. Yet Trump has not even been charged with incitement. Not even Special Counsel Jack Smith is charged with incitement in his two indictments. The 14th Amendment theory is a perfect vehicle for the age of rage and Tribe again, as applied to perfect rage-filled analysis to support it. Scott, yours.
Well, you know, I think that line summarizes the entire Democrat mental state, Jim, today in 2023. In an age of rage, only the most irate, you know, seems to be heard. And we are in an age of rage. We're in an age of maniacs and idiots and retards and over-vaccinated zombies and people pulling their hair out and about to immolate themselves and flagellating themselves with masks and all sorts of nonsense and castrating themselves and castrating their children, all in this fear religion and this rage that, you know, they don't know where it's coming from, but they're just exploding with rage. And this is the sign of things to come. They will only get worse and worse and worse. The Democrats are not going to suddenly pacify and go back to a 1960s Kennedy-esque Democrat, you know, Bird, you know, Robert Byrd or whatever those old blue dog Democrats were. Never again. These are not human beings. These are worse than animals, rabid dogs, full of rage, mouth-frothing hatred, trying to project onto others the fury they have consuming them. That's what Tribe is. An arrogant, old, probably a homosexual, you know, nasty old man who has just got, thinks that the louder he gets and the nastier and the more profane and insulting and name-calling, that somehow that is going to win him the debate or the rhetoric, or that's going to silence critics. No. Republicans, conservatives, Christians, traditionalists, whatever you want to call us, we don't react to rage. We don't respond to idiots. We hold our composure. We defend our ground. We choose our moment. And when that raging psychopath crosses a line, he loses whatever appendage or life that he had before he crossed that line. That's where things go to. That's what happens when raging lunatic mad dogs pick a fight with someone who has women and children and parents and property to defend. We defend it with lethal force, and I have no problem killing any and all and as many as required, any lunatic raging fanatics that are hell-bent and obsessed with trying to steal, scream, and rage at me or anyone else in the prosecution or the advancement of their anarchist, communist, American takeover. And that's where we're at. The left is never again going to recognize or allow a constitutional republic. They are now, as many other commentators have said, on a full throttle rush towards anarchy that will then translate into a police state. And in that police state, mask wearing, 15-minute cities, and the abolition of everything that was celebrated as American. They won in 1984. Well, it'll be over my dead body, Jim.
Wow, Brian.
Yeah, Lawrence Tribe has been one of those unhinged lefty cranks that has been churning out wild conspiracy theories about Trump ever since Trump derangement system got its birth in 2016. He claimed that Putin took down an airplane because it had a witness against Trump and it killing all 71 passengers. The witness wasn't there. He got this information from someone on 4chan and then tweeted it out to his 300,000 enraged lefty people, blaming Trump and Putin working together to take it down. He also claimed that Trump had paid $10 million to Jason Chaffetz, and he's come up with a number of real doozies. But it's funny that how MSNBC and MSNBC and ABC and all these, they love the guy because the crazier he gets and the crazier things he says, the more it's all leans toward their direction. So he had said that Sergey Milan was one of the sources for the Trump piss dossier that Trump and Putin had had killed him in an airplane crash. And of course he wasn't on the list. He wasn't anywhere near the airplane crash, but Tribe's just he's a lefty nutcase. And you know, the crazier stuff they come up with, the more they want to believe it. I mean, look at how these lefties are. They'll want to believe anything that you can give to them, from Russian collusion to the dossier to January 6th insurrection. I mean, they're grabbing everything they possibly can and running with it. And Tribe is just one of their leaders. What do you expect from Harvard Law?
I'm sorry to say, you got it right. It's unbelievable. A total ideologue. Meanwhile, get this. UNC students boys forced into different facilities as illegal immigrants flood schools on first day of classes. Around 21,000 illegal immigrant children flooded New York City schools for the first day of classes Thursday, forcing one school to place kids in a different facility because they reached building capacity. One teacher slammed city and school official for not coming up with a better plan to address the thousands of illegal immigrants who enroll in New York City schools. We are welcoming all these new migrant students into our school with open arms, Banks said. We know it's a larger political issue, and the mayor and others have to deal with it. But when they show up in our schools, they're going to get the best that we have, said the superintendent of schools. Some students complained about the crowded area outside the school they had to wait on their first day. I wanted to get here early because I'm new, said 14-year-old Alex Gonzalez. I'm going to be lost. So all these guys, I think they should have let them come a day before. I hate being stuck in crowds, and this is definitely my worst nightmare. I am just going to be going crazy. They gave us crap, no information, Lucas exclaimed. I'm getting a late start. I left early. I'm two subway stops away. I mean, look at this. I'm going to try and transfer to the Academy of American Studies as soon as I can. The New York City mayor warned during a town hall, illegal immigration crisis, which has exacerbated under Biden, will destroy New York City. We're getting 10,000 migrants a month. One time we're just getting Venezuelan. Now we're getting Ecuador. Now we're getting Russian-speaking coming to Mexico. Now we're getting Western Africa. Now we're getting people from all over the globe with their mind made up. They're going to come through the southern part of the border and come to New York City. And everyone says it's New York City's problem. As of August 13th, over 100,000 illegal immigrants had made their way to the Big Apple and were cared for by taxpayer dollars. Since April of 2022, nearly 60,000 remain in the city's shelter system. The city estimates spent over $4.7 billion in the fiscal year to deal with the crisis. Meanwhile, Chicago's O'Hare Airport turned into migrant shelter. Growing crisis hidden from public behind black curtains. O'Hare Airport has been turned into a makeshift overflow shelter for hundreds of asylum-seeking migrants, according to multiple reports. They're residing on the ground floor of the building, hidden from the public behind large black curtains. A Chicago cop confirmed there are approximately 433 migrants sheltering at the airport. At the beginning of August, only 31. One migrant, here we are truly in condition, not at all humane. Their main children are sick to their stomach, and another thing because the food they're given is not adequate. With limited cots available, some are being forced to sleep on the floor. Others stated most are only staying for 10 days, at which point the city places them in more permanent shelters. Meanwhile, police department urges residents not to call 911. In Texas, the Austin PD has informed residents they should call 311, for instance, related to robberies close to ATMs. The department noted 311 is the number used in the case of non-emergency requests. 911 only for emergencies. The police department has been struggling to deal with the rise in urban crime, as there are many staffing shortages. Along with a graphic, the department posted, formerly referred to on Twitter, that even those who are cautious could end up becoming victims of robberies. The post noted, in these cases, the victim should make a police report with all the information they have so the department can look into recovering their property. Fat chance. As far as the information, the victim should inform the department of the date and time that the cash withdrawal had been made. The new procedure to have been in place is also trying to deal with an increase in crime. When compared to 2020, the capital has had a 30% increase in murders, 18% increase in aggravated assaults, 77% increase in auto thefts. Thomas Villarreal, president of the Austin Police Association, disclosed the city department does not have the required resources to deal with the increase of crime. Yeah, the city should have around 2,000 officers or more, but only has 1,475 today. Bad. Scott.
Well, it's a foreign invasion. I'm sick and tired of these pathetic civilian fools and these cops that are as dumb as a bag of rocks and these corrupt politicians treating it like some sort of humanitarian crisis. It's not. It is an invasion. And it should have been met as an invasion. And I said it years ago, it should have been treated like an invasion from the South, and NORTHCOM, the Northern Command of the continental United States, should have been fully mobilized by the president. Failing that, the Guard should have been mobilized by every state, and the governors who did not mobilize the Guard were facilitating the invasion of the United States and undermining the Republic. And this should have been met with full military force. And I don't care who gets killed, blown up, be the 3 years old or 100 years old, you do not cross into this country. This is a military invasion, and we will never recover from this. You are never going to catch all these rabid dogs that have come into New York and all these other states that are flooding their kids into American schools, pushing out American kids. This is absolutely sickening. And I just shudder to think, because we also don't seem to have the testicular fortitude to stand up and fix this problem. This is a cancer that is only going to get worse. And the sooner people either completely go into full mafia or military mode or get whatever lethal means necessary to drive these invaders out, and to stop them from gaining access and using any public utilities, sending them back to their country. I don't care where it is, but they do not belong in the United States. And the sooner they are expelled, the better. And the other thing is, if they're not expelled, then Americans better be prepared to get out of some of these cities that are only going to turn into shitholes, and relocate and pull up the drawbridge and put on bayonets and get your weapons ready, because these hordes of locusts are going to spread from New York and Los Angeles into other cities and towns, and the black market of human sex slave trafficking and kidnapping girls and drugs and everything else the cartels do, aided and abetted by Ukrainian weaponry, is going to begin in the dystopian American future, unless there are real warriors that will stand up and put these enemies to flight. Jim?
Well, Biden wants the invasion. I mean, he's encouraging it. He rolled out the red carpet, so we know the government is the problem. Brian? Well,
the sooner that son of a bitch is dead, the better.
Yeah.
Now, we should just call it for what it is. It's a crime wave worthy of a Batman movie. And it's absolutely insane what they're doing to our resources. Remember, they are criminals who are willing to cross the border illegally, who are willing to do whatever it takes to be capable of existing or even prospering. within this society. We've only got so many prison cells, and I imagine that a lot of them are going to end up in prisons over time if we can catch them. If not, they're going to be on people's property. They're going to be stealing stuff from the local stores. They're going to be continuing to press all of our public resources as hard as they possibly can. And let's just call this for what it is. Joe Biden is practically the Joker, driving a toxic chem waste machine into the United States of America, and the people are going to have to deal with the problem. The only thing is, we don't have a Batman. We don't have the power to go out there and enforce laws like the police do. So I expect that it's going to continue to get worse before it gets better. And the only way to solve the problem is to fix the voting machines, but that's not going to happen anytime soon.
Right.
Absolutely. And I know Scott has an obligation to fulfill. Here, let this be our final story. Gavin Newsom announces he's not running in 2024. Dubs Kamala the natural successor to Biden. California Governor Gavin Newsom, long thought to be the Democrats' secret weapon against Trump in 2024, announced Friday he's not running for president in 2024 and that Vice President Harris is a natural successor to Biden. I think the vice president is naturally the one lined up to run after Biden, he said. Maybe I'm a little old-fashioned, you know, about presidents and vice presidents. I was lieutenant governor, so I'm a little subjective. After he could imagine running against her, Newsom responded, of course not. By definition, won't happen. But I've said it 1,000 times. We privately continue to maintain a very good relationship, interpersonal. Just how are you doing? Checking in. It's been a challenging few years with COVID. And we've had the opportunity to sit down, have lunch together in the White House, spend time talking about important things. Ryan Gerdusky tweets, Gavin Newsom says he'll not be running for president in 2024. The only people I've had say they thought he was going to run are Republicans. Meanwhile, vaccination makes long COVID syndrome worse and lasts longer, Peter McCullough explains. I've seen patients in my practice become progressively more ill with fatigue, weakness, hair loss, headaches, effort intolerance, sleep disturbance. In some cases, cardiac and neurological symptoms with progressive mRNA injections every 6 months. Meanwhile, the Biden admin, USHHS, National Action Plan on Long COVID, have been running a $1 billion research plan with no consideration that the vaccine could be the cause of the symptoms. The medical literature is low in papers on long COVID, ignoring the fact the same patient groups have all been taking the COVID vax. In essence, there's a global cover-up of vaccine injury syndromes as long COVID. Studies with continued vaccination. Only 26 subjects out of 341 or 547 recovered from long COVID. Almost all of them, 24, belonging to the less symptomatic cluster. Importantly, the syndrome finally lessened when they dropped vaccination. They stopped vaccinating and their symptoms went away. Surprise, surprise. No wonder people are sick with long COVID. The vaccines install long-lasting genetic code for the Wuhan SARS-CoV-2 spike protein, which deposits in tissues and organs and directly causes cardiovascular, neurological, thrombotic, and immunologic disease, which is being blamed on long COVID. Thus, an important part of treatment for long COVID is to stop ill-advised every 6 month mass evacuation. Brian, your thoughts.
I don't have too many thoughts on this particular story. I think they're probably going to take out Biden with a COVID and press the next level of leadership. They're going to put Kamala Harris into place. I don't think there's going to be an assassination. I just think they're going to use COVID and it'll be a cover for a new pandemic. And I'm not really too worried about Gavin Newsom stepping in. Obviously, he's been made promises that are going to keep him away from the job for a while. So who knows what kind of deal was cut. Either way, they're all puppets in my book, so I really don't pay much of attention to it. Now, I can tell you the one thing I'm upset about is Robert F. Kennedy Jr. not getting a chance to really fight in the primaries, and that to me means the Democrats are completely and totally sold their soul. It's all just a machine, and they're all part of the apparatus. There's no soul left in them at all.
As he has called it out, the Democrat primary is rigged, and it's obvious to all. Don, take us out.
Oh, boy. What a shorter day. On September 11th, I'll say this is a day to investigate what really happened on 9/11 and do not accept the government story at all. And I'm going to just re-emphasize, if I can show it here, Jim's book, America Nuked on 9/11. This is the Bible of what really happened. And you need to have this to have the truth about what all happened. About 300 pages of it, and it's all right there, folks. And so we're here on Truth Versus News, and we're so happy that you joined us and can share this if you can find it here. And I thank you so much for watching. Share this widely. This is very important. You can't get any more truth than this, and we need the truth more than ever because it's really being wiped out by the powers that be. They do not want to have this happening. So let's pursue truth now and forever. That's the only way we're going to survive. God bless.